So glad we got a pastor that can sing, even when he don't know what he's singing. Just a little behind the scenes. I told him before I left the office there, I was like, you're singing tonight. And usually me or Miss Roberta pick the song out for him and lay it in the pulpit, and he grabs it and sings it. And to me, that's pretty amazing if you ask me. And so I tell you, I thank the Lord for our pastor that just go with the punches. And that's part of being a part of the ministry. And you just go with it. And the Lord blesses it. He does. And I'm telling you what, we're blessed at this church to have Miss Roberta that can follow the person singing. Because they didn't have no clue how they were going to end that song. See, I'm telling on them because I do the same thing. But you saw Miss Roberta just gave it a little. And Brother Crawford gave it a little. And it all worked out. Amen. So I'll tell you what, we got a great team. Between all of us and all of you, that's a great team, amen? And I'll tell you what, I'm glad to be a part of this church. And I hope the Lord lets me stay here until the rapture happens, which will be next year. We only got one more year to go. But I'm serious. I love being here. I do. Me and my family are blessed because of this church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we do have such a great staff. We have a great church. And everybody has their own part. And what happens here every week, and we just don't show up and it happens. People make preparations for it, and I thank the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we've been talking about the four views of the cross, and really I was going to preach on the view from Christ tonight, and the Lord just kept dragging me back to some scripture, and so I'm going to obey Him tonight. And next week we're going to just throw all of them together, and we're going to look at the view from the Godhead, how the Godhead viewed the cross. Matter of fact, the Godhead viewed the cross different than man viewed the cross. And we'll talk about that. But tonight I want to talk about the view from the Lord's table, the view from the Lord's table. And we'll jump right into this story, 1 Corinthians. Of course, the book of Corinthians is a book of correction. I've said that before. And of course, it is a book where they were not only needing correction. Why were they needing correction? Because they were confused about what was going on. They were mixing a little tradition with a little truth. Matter of fact, we have that today. We have a little tradition with a little, it shouldn't be tradition, it should be scripture. And what does truth say? And so in verse 23, Paul comes in, talks to the church at Corinth. And of course, they've been using the Lord's Supper. They had been using the Lord's table as a feast. They had been misusing it in a such a way of thinking to feed themselves with it. And they've been getting cliquish. They had gotten groups together, and the poor, now some of the feedings that they would have was to feed the poor and to help the poor. But during this time, they were using it to fellowship with and using it as the Lord's Supper. And God said, that is not the intent of the Lord's table. And I'll give you some tonight, but you know what? It still happens today. People use the Lord's Supper in the wrong manner, and there is a certain manner that God has given us. So let's look at that tonight. And so verse 23 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in that which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, and often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." Can I just remind us that, and we'll look at the rest of it here later on, but the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, is about the cross. It is about the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we're talking about the cross, we're not just talking about the moment that He died. We're talking about all the circumstances that led up to the cross, which is the trial, which is the beating, the scourging, and all of these things. This is all part of the cross, a section of the Bible. And matter of fact, we need to get it in the crosshairs, amen? And we need to get in the crosswalk. We need to get in the crossway. And you see a lot of churches nowadays name something after the cross. But now we're at the end of Christ's earthly ministries. Maybe you ought to write these down, but these are good to know. These are five things that happen at the end of Christ's earthly ministries. And we're starting here talking about there was a gathering. A gathering of who? A gathering of the church. Let me reiterate that. This is the gathering of the church. Jesus Christ being the pastor, the shepherd, the great shepherd, the disciples being the members. They were baptized, assembled together for one reason. What was that? To win lost souls. Sounds like a church to me. Matter of fact, Jesus is a great example to us of everything. We'll notice that tonight. Of the Lord's Supper, of singing hymns, of baptism. Why was he an example of all those and he wouldn't be an example of a pastor? He is that example, my friends. The church didn't start in Acts chapter 2. The church was empowered in Acts chapter 2. Amen. And I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because I think Jesus set an example for us. And so as we look at this, we see there was a gathering. Then we see that from this, we see a garden of Gethsemane. Boy, that was a painful place for our Lord whenever he cried those blood drops from his eyes. He goes from a gathering to the Garden of Gethsemane to Golgotha, where he died on the cross for us. He goes from Golgotha to a grave. But then he goes from a grave to glorification. Those are five things you ought to just know. Those are things that are great. That's how I remember it. The gathering, there's a garden, there's a Golgotha, there's a grave, and then there's glorification. And God glorified him. Why? Because he accomplished his purpose here on earth. And so tonight, as we look at this, we see that we are at the Lord's table looking at a picture of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's table is a picture. What it is not there to feed the hungry. When we have the Lord's Supper, we're not feeding people. Amen. Just as, let me give you another picture, just as we're having baptism tonight, not to give people baths. Amen. If the baptism, there's two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the reason we baptize people is to picture the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, right? And we walk in newness of life because of that. That's what it pictures to us. But the reason that we do the Lord's Supper is not to feed people. If you come to get fed, you're going to get hungry and thirsty. You're like, where's the rest of my wafer or cracker, you know? That's not why we do it, and that's not why we don't have baptism so tonight Brother Chris Case can get a bath. It's not for that reason. It is for a symbol, for a picture of what Christ did. The picture of the Lord's table is such an important part. There are different religions out there that believe different things. I'll give you some fancy words tonight that I probably have mispronounced, but transubstantiation means that the bread and the wine literally change into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Catholic Church believes. There's also a consubstantiation. Consubstantiation. Yeah, there we go. The bread and wine actually contain the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They do not literally change. Christ is actually present with and in and under the elements. Then there's another one that's called the Reform. Christ is not literally present in the elements, but he is there in the spiritual presence as the recipients receive grace through the partaking of the elements. This is the Presbyterian and the Reformed Church. And then there's our stance that teaches that it's neither a physical or spiritual element. It is a symbolic reminder of what Christ did on the cross for us. Do you know, I studied this, and you know the only two religions that believe that are us and the Mennonites. Ain't that something? That sets us so apart. The Lord's table sets us apart. Why? Because as believers tonight in the Bible, and can I say there's maybe others out there that believe that, but that was an old study. But can I say that we need to get a picture, a vivid picture of the cross? Why? Because Christ takes it very seriously. When he brought his 12 disciples to the table and he broke that bread and he poured that wine upon the glass, he said, "This is me. This is what I'm doing for you." But something he did differently with the Lord's Supper than he did with the baptism, he said, "I want you to do that once." And matter of fact, if you study baptism, there's a lot of us, if he had the same regulations on baptism as he did the Lord's Supper, a lot of us would be in trouble. Because there's people that's been baptized four or five times because they can't figure it out. Amen? I mean, seriously. My wife's been baptized twice. Why? Because she thought she got saved, then she really got saved. Hallelujah. After she heard my preaching. She, you know, and my wife was a pastor's wife before she got saved. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. That took a lot of courage. Amen. That my wife had a head knowledge when she was young, but she never had a heart knowledge. But you know what? We dunked her again. But you know what? If you take the Lord's Supper unworthily, what does the Bible say? Some are sick, weak, and dead. Yeah. And you know, there's a separation between baptism and the Lord's Supper. Why? Because of what they picture is important. There's an importance there. We're identifying with Christ, right? But when we come to the Lord's Supper, we're not necessarily identifying. We are remembering. It is a remembrance, a symbolic thing of the cross of Jesus Christ. The difference also between baptism and the Lord's Supper is that he said do that once, and the Lord's Supper, he said do it as often as you eat and drink this. He didn't put no limits on it. Why? Because we need to be reminded all the time of the cross of Calvary. Amen. At the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It's a picture. Baptism pictures a new life which we have in Christ because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're raised to walk in newness of life with Him. But the Lord's Supper pictures the punishment, pain, and payment of our Lord Jesus Christ that He showed on the cross of Calvary. We see three things about the Lord's table tonight, the view from the Lord's table. I want you to get a picture tonight. It kind of takes me a minute to set this one up because I feel like we need a vivid picture. And I probably should have brought a table in here, but let's imagine the Lord. He has a table there in the upper room, correct? They're in the upper room. There's a lot of events that's going to happen here. This is where the Lord's going to wash their feet. This is where the Lord is going to point out Judas is going to betray Him. And all of them are asking who's the greatest and all these things. But the first part of this Passover meal is the Lord brings them up to an upper room that is not, it's just a room that they found, and they're sitting around here, and the Lord is feasting with them, and He takes that time to say, hey, I want you to see something that's going to be symbolic to you for the rest of your life. I want to take a moment and I want to show you a picture of what's going to happen to me here in just a little while. And He begins to take that bread and break it. Well, there's a lot of views that we can see of the cross from here, but I want to tell you the first thing that I thought of was the view of thankfulness. The view of thankfulness. Look, if you will, verse 23. Notice what it says, I have received of the Lord that which is... And he said, of course, he talks about the one that's going to betray him. But also look at verse 24. It says, and when he had given thanks... When he had given thanks, hey, can I remind you that Jesus Christ knew in his mind that Judas was going to betray him? He realized Christ had already seen what's going to happen on the cross. He already seen that they were going to beat him, that his bones were going to be exposed because his skin would be filleted open. He understood that they were going to pluck his beard out. They were going to walk him through the street in shame and strip him of his garments and cast lots for his garments. He realized that they were going to take the nails and put them in his hands and in his feet. He realized that they were going to take a spear and put it in his side. But he notice what he said. But when he had given thanks, when he had given thanks for what? For the bread. He was thanking himself for his body. That God had given him a body to break for all mankind. Whew. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. About to take Bailey get her toenail cut out today. Before we went, I did not thank the Lord for letting me watch that. I just didn't. I knew what was going to happen because I've had four or five of them done. She's had one done. I've been in there before. I didn't go, woohoo, can't wait. I was going, Lord, please. First of all, I was like, Lord, please don't let it cost a lot. You know what? God bless. Half price. The Lord's good. I said, Lord, just don't let her hurt. But I'm telling you, there wasn't a lot of going, thank you, Lord. I'm looking forward to this pain that my daughter's going to endure. But Jesus looked within himself and he said, he viewed the cross in thankfulness. That's how we should view it, is thankfulness. View the cross saying, Lord, thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. Even though he looked through time and he saw the times Michael Wiggins was going to mess up and slip up and sin in my life, and yet he still went and he died and he gave thanks for the bread and he broke it. Wow, what a Savior. There's a song I love that says, what a master, what a Savior. What a friend is he. Isn't that true? Isn't he a great and mighty God? We ought to be thankful tonight. We ought to be thankful. And you can go back to Matthew chapter 26, and I wanted to take the time to do that. But where he sits them down on this day, a feast of Passover, and we see that he's sitting with his disciples, and he gives them that bread. As he breaks it, he gives it to them. He said, Lord, thank you. Father, thank you for this bread. He was saying, Lord, thank you for this body that you put me in so I can die for all mankind. By the way, who is he going to die for? Judas. Right? He would have, if Judas would have held on a little longer. We'll notice that here in a little while, but I'm telling you, he died for people like Judas. He died for people who were not, he didn't die for the just, he died for the unjust. He died for those who needed redemption, who needed purchasing. Amen, that was me. I'm glad that he looked down through time and he saw Michael Wiggins. I'm glad he looked down through time and he saw the Walker family. He saw the Feaser family. He saw the Armstrong family. And he saw the Crawford family. He said, I gotta die. And he gave thanks. Thankful that he could do it. Thankfulness. The cross should make us thankful. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, in everything, give thanks. Amen. It's easy to give thanks when things are good. But I'm going to tell you what, whenever you're facing death for people that are not necessarily worthy, as we would call it, when you look at sinners and say, I don't think none of us would take our kids down to the prison system and go to some of those cells of some of those people, the things they've done, and say, hey, could my son die for him? That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? But I'm going to tell you what, there was a God in heaven one day that gave his only begotten son to die for the vilest offender, which was us, right? And he died for us, and we ought to be thankful for that. The second view we see is a view of thoughtfulness. Verses 24 and 25 tell us that. He said, the last part of that, he said, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. For you, notice what he said, it was broken for you. Notice what else he said, this do in remembrance of me. The last part of verse 25, he talks about the blood. He said, in remembrance of me. He wants us to be thoughtful when we think of the cross, when we see the view of the cross. We need to view the cross in thankfulness, but also in thoughtfulness. You know, there's things we don't think about that we should. You know what, I'm serious. We've had a week with Bailey this week. If it can be done, it can. The doctor was sitting there today, and me and my wife, I was having to hold her leg down, and he says, well, she reached down here and you know, try to get the scalpel away from me. And you know what I thought about Brother Tramore? I ain't tell my wife this. Bailey can't even reach your feet. Bailey can't touch your feet. I thought about, I'm so glad I can touch my feet. Now, I may have to finagle around a little more nowadays. There's things that we just don't even think about that we ought to be thankful for. When we think of the cross, sometimes we forget about what just Jesus went through for us. And we forget about the scars in His hand. We forget about all the things that He done. When you start to not think about the cross, you're going to stop being thankful. Boy, I'm so thankful. Thoughtfulness. This do in remembrance of me. We should never forget the cross. Christ wanted His church. He wanted His people to always be reminded of the cross and the thoughtfulness of the cross. Why? Because if it ever dies, if that thought of the cross, if the view of the cross ever dies in our mind, and we begin to slip away. I'm going to tell you what, you want to stay near the cross? You keep thinking about it. And what He did for you, and for what He did for me and you, and for this whole world, I'm going to tell you what, it'll change your life. It will change your life. I want you to notice the last thing tonight. The view of truthfulness. Can I remind you, there is a serious side to the Lord's Supper. I was telling you this earlier. The Lord takes the Lord's Supper seriously than He does the baptism. You know why I know that? Because He put judgment upon the table and not upon the water. Right. And I'm going to tell you, I think a lot of times, I've been in church a long time. I pastored them, I've associate pastored them, I've been on both sides of the street. And I'm telling you what, when the Lord's Supper happens, I'm going to tell you, there's people here that are not thinking about the cross. They're not thankful for the cross, and they're just playing around with the Lord's Supper. You better be careful. Not that I would ever threaten anybody with death or sickness or all these things, but I want you to notice what Jesus said. I'm not threatening you. Notice what the Bible says. He says in verse 27, or matter of fact, verse 26, he said, let me read the whole thing. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. He says, by the fact, he tells us he's coming again, by the way. There's a little rapture reference right there, amen. He said, do it until I come again. He said, I want this to be a repetitive thing, but he said, here's the thing. The Bible says, if any man strive lawfully, if any man strive for mastery, let him do it what? Lawfully. Let him do it the right way. Notice what God says, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and body and blood of the Lord. But let him, notice this, but let him examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause are weak, weak means feeble, and sickly among you many sleep, which means they dead. That's it. You say, have you ever seen anybody die because of eating and drinking the cup unworthily? Sure have. His name was Judas. First casualty of the Lord's Supper happened the first night it happened. Amen. It took a little bit, but I'm telling you what, Judas was lost and was there because he said, he supped with me. He's soaking his bread, right? That's what the Bible says. And then the Bible says after Judas betrayed the Lord, he went out and did what? He committed suicide, right? Later on. I'm telling you what, I think about what's happening here and I'm thinking, Lord, you're taking this pretty serious. Why is that? Because the cross is serious. Because why? You show the Lord's death till he comes. Who are we showing it to a lost world? There's lost people that need to see the cross. And there are saved people that need to get a revision of the cross. We need to renew our vision of the cross. Notice what's happening here. If we judge ourselves, verse 31 says, then Christ doesn't have to judge us. That's the Michael Wiggins version. But that's what it says. It says, if we judge ourselves first, in other words, if I come down to the altar and I get things right, or I get saved, I get my heart cleansed, he says, then God doesn't have to judge us. That's what verse 31 tells us. By the way, that's true with every day of our life. By the way, you reap what you sow. Amen. You know the best way to cut that thing off? Is to get rid of it immediately before it grows roots into your life. Amen. By the way, it's easier to clean up a stain in the carpet if you catch it quicker. Amen. We know that around our house. You let it sit for a while, you might as well just pull the carpet up because it ain't coming up. And so is the same in our life. Notice he's saying that in verse 31, he says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, if you take care of it, then God doesn't have to take care of it. That's pretty good. Amen. There is such a seriousness to the Lord's Supper. I understand sometimes in the Lord's Supper, there's times where things happen, things get spilled and things like that. I'm not talking about that. There's things, if it can happen, it's going to happen at church, right? When the pastor's gone, usually. That's just going to happen. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the seriousness of when you partake of that cup and you know you're lost. Be careful. How can you remember the cross when you've never been to the cross? How can you picture the cross when you've never been to the cross? How can you get in a baptistry when you've never been buried with Christ and risen with Christ? So it's the same with Jesus' table, with His table. We view the cross through that, and it's such an important part of God's economy that's where He died for our sins. And He takes it so seriously that we should, when we take of the Lord's Supper, one of the greatest times, I've done the Lord's Supper a lot of times, and I told my wife one time, I said, I'm going to make my own bread, and I'm going to have a big sheet of bread out there, and I'm going to do it like the Lord did it. I said, well, we'll try it. great things about the ministry, you try them, and then usually they don't work. But that night, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I know this is what you want me to do. I took that bread, and I started breaking it. I'm telling you what, boy, I got the picture more than everybody else did. But I seen what God went through. By the way, the brokenness is not his bones. Because not one bone was broken. If it was, Jesus would have avoided all of the Old Testament prophecy and couldn't have died for mine and your sin. That's because he's God, right? But they didn't have to break his bones. They were going to because of the preparation day was happening the day after, right? The high day was happening, and they were going to have to break his legs so that he would die and he would suffocate quicker. But they didn't have to do that. He was already dead. You know why he's already dead? Because God knew what was going to happen. And just for despite, they stuck his side, right? No, because the Old Testament scripture said, and they that pierce his side. It's all God's. I'm telling you what, everything was perfect. And so why is that important? That we keep the picture of it perfect. That we keep the picture of the cross pure. That when we show his death till he comes, you say, what? Why? How can we mess it up? You ever watched any other church do communion with real wine? With somebody giving a wafer out and thinking that they're God? I'm telling you what, we've messed it up. And I'm telling you what, God's judgment is going to come upon that one day. And God's judgment is going to come upon those who take it unworthy. I'm not saying tonight. I always hate that because people get sick after the Lord's Supper and they're like, oh no, that was them. Now sometimes they're just sick, right? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we ought to take it serious enough to fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? And so we ought to fear the Lord when we come before His table that we wouldn't come and sin. We come and cleanse. At the altar, and that we would take it so serious. Why? Because it pictures the cross where my Savior died. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, you come. Every head bowed, every eyes closed.